Lord, give us your spirit and your wisdom and discernment.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, sovereign over everything, Prince of Peace, mighty Counselor, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is, Do Not Give Up on God, Part 3. My scripture is John 10th chapter 7 through 11. My text is John 10th chapter 10th verse, which states, The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Christ is a shepherd and not as a thief, not as those that came not in by the door. Observe in the parable in the 10th chapter of John. The number one, the mischievous design of the thief. The thief cometh not with any good intent, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. First, those whom they steal, whose hearts and affections they steal from Christ and his pastures, they kill and destroy spiritually. But adherence to a religious opinion contrary to God doctrine, they privately bring in as damnable. Deceivers of souls and murderers of souls, those that steal away the scripture by keeping it in an unknown tongue, they steal away the sacraments by maiming them and altering the property of them. They steal away Christ's ordinances to put their own inventions in the room of them. They kill and destroy. Ignorance and idolatry are destructive things. Secondly, those whom they cannot steal, whom they can neither lead, drive, nor carry away from the flock of Christ, they aim by persecutions and massacres to kill and destroy the body. He will not suffer himself to be robbed, is in danger of being slain. The precious design of the shepherd, he has come first to give life to the sheep, in opposition to the design of the thief, which is to kill and destroy, which are the design of the scribes and Pharisees. Christ said, I am come among men. Number one, that they may have life. He came to put life into the flock, the church in general, which has seemed rather like a valley full of dry bones, and like a pasture covered over with flocks. Christ came to confirm divine truths, to purify divine ordinances, to redress grievances, and to revive dying soul, dying zeal, to seek those in his flock that were lost, to bind up that which was broken, and this to his church is as life from the dead. He came to give life to particular believers. Life is inclusive of all good and stands in opposition to the death threatened, that we might have life as a criminal has when he is pardoned, as a sick man when he is cured, a dead man when he is raised, that we might be justified, sanctified, and at last glorified, that they may have it more abundantly. As we read it, it is comparative, that they might have a life more abundant than that which was lost and forfeited by sin, more abundant than that which was promised by the law of Moses. Length of days in Canaan, more abundant than could have been expected or than we are able to ask or think. But it may be construed without a note of comparison that they might have abundance or might have it abundantly. Christ came to give life and something more, something better, life with advantage. That is Christ, that in Christ we might not only live, but live comfortably, live plentifully, live and rejoice. Jesus' promise of abundant life, which begins already in the here and now, brings to mind Old Testament prophecies about abundant blessing. Jesus calls his followers not to a stern, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes human potential, but to a rich, full, joyful life, one of overflowing with meaningful activities under the personal favor and blessing of God, and in continual fellowship with his people. To give his life for the sheep, and this that he might give life to them. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It is the property of every good shepherd to hazard and expose his life for the sheep. Jacob did so when he would go through such a fatigue to attend them. So did David when he slew the lion and the bear. Such a shepherd of souls was St. Paul, who would gladly spend and be spent for their service, and counted not his life dear to him in comparison with their salvation. It was the prerogative of the great shepherd to give his life to purchase his flock, to satisfy for their trespass, and to shed his blood to wash and cleanse them. Therefore, let us not give up on God, for he truly cares for us. Loss of sense of smell may cause changes in breathing patterns, studies suggest. Anosmia has been previously linked to a wide variety of mental and physical challenges, ranging from dulled emotions and depression to a shortened lifespan. October 22, 2024, by Linda Carroll. Even for those in the 4% who lost their sense of smell after having a COVID infection, there will still be hope. Since some get their sense of smell back as late as 3 years after their infection, experts say, there are treatments that may help, such as smell training or a procedure known as a stellate ganglion block. The main takeaway from the study is better insight into some of the mental issues that some COVID patients who have lost their sense of smell experience, said the study's lead author. Lear Gorodowski, a PhD candidate in the Brain Sciences Department at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Rehovot, Israel. The difference in breathing between those who can smell and those who can't are pretty significant. We are now also able to identify lifelong anosmia just based on the respiratory patterns, Gorodowski said in an email. The little inhalations during a breath, known as the smell response, are something that most of us experience unconsciously every day, Gorodowski said. Those little sniffs tell our brains about good and bad smells. When you go to a bakery or a flower field, once your brain has sensed the good smell of a pastry or a flower, you immediately take a deeper breath, Gorodowski said. to determine whether having anosmia might affect respiration, the researchers supplied the 52 volunteers with nasal devices that will monitor breathing as they went about their days. Previous research has linked anosmia to a wide variety of negative outcomes, ranging from dull emotions and depression to a shortened lifespan, the author noted. Although people in the study with anosmia had had it in their entire lives, the researchers believe their findings will apply to others who develop the condition. Losing the ability to detect odors and lead to an impaired memory of events linked to specific smells, Gorodowski said. Because of that, it can take away the joy from daily activities, such as eating and socializing with friends and family. As the shortened lifespans, they can be dull, at least in part, to people not smelling odors that could indicate danger, such as smoke, Gorodowski said. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is the answer to fear, false evidence appearing real. Months after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on Washington and New York, psychiatrists reported that people who lived far away from these tragic events were still coming to them paralyzed by fear. We live in a world shaken by fear, anxiety, and worry. What is the answer to this stifling fear? After Jesus had been put to death, his disciples huddled in fear behind closed doors, filled with uncertainty and despair. But suddenly, they found themselves in the presence of their living Lord, and at his first words, their fears disappeared. Jesus said, "Peace to you," in Luke 24:36. The answer to our fears is found in a personal faith in the living, glorified Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the answer to collective fear is a corporate faith in the living, glorified Lord. The answer to tensions and fears is for the world to know him who is alive forevermore. We do not worship a dead Christ. We worship a risen Christ who has broken the power of sin, death, and hell, and is alive forevermore. Why then should we fear? There is nothing to fear when our faith is in God. Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet, be encouraged because God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, he arose with all power in his hands, so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first, trust and obey his word, and when fear calls your name, allow your faith in God to answer the call.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.